is that we are recording this webinar. We will then transcribe the audio, and then it will be posted online with the solicitation, so that you or any colleagues who may not have been able to make it today will have access to all of the questions and answers that we address here this afternoon. So first off, I will start with just a very brief introduction to the LEX, and then we will dive into questions and answers. So first off, the LEX focuses on the organizational characteristics of law enforcement agencies, and BJS strives to provide accurate and timely national statistics about the personnel, operations, policies, and procedures of federal, state, county, local, and tribal law enforcement agencies in the United States. Within the LEX are BJS's two core law enforcement collections, the first of which is the Law Enforcement Management and Administrative Statistics Survey, the LEMIS, and the Census of State and Local Law Enforcement Agencies, also known as the CESLIA. So we had some questions that were sent in ahead of time. So thank you to those who provided questions for us. So I will start there with those questions and then open it up for any other questions that any of you may have. So our first question was, how many questions does BJS anticipate the LEMIS and CESLIA surveys to have? What is the anticipated burden for responding agencies? So for this, based on the most recent LEMIS, which was conducted in 2020, there were between 45 and 47 questions on the instrument. The number of questions depended on the type of agency, whether it was a local police department or a state police agency, or a sheriff's office. For all of these, the estimated burden was about 2.5 hours to complete the LEMIS. The current CESLIA, which is in the field right now for 2022, has 8 questions with an estimated burden of about 30 minutes. Ultimately, the length of the survey going forward will depend on the items that are identified as key to carry forward from previous surveys that will support trend analysis, along with possible replacement or additional content to address current topics of interest to law enforcement. And that is all done also with the goal of minimizing the burden on agencies. So the burden should be similar or less than that of the previous waves of these surveys. The next question we received was, does BJS have a standing LEX expert panel the offerors will continue to work with? The answer to that is no. BJS does not have a standing expert panel for the LEX. Next, we have, what information gathered as part of these collections does BJS consider to be information identifiable to a private person as defined in 28 CFR Part 22.2? The LEX includes identifying information for the agency head or other point of contact for law enforcement agencies, including the first and last name of the agency head or point of contact, the agency street address, city and zip code, the telephone number, which may be the main agency line or it may be the direct line for the agency head or point of contact, and also an email address for the agency head or point of contact. This is generally public information, as many agencies display these details on their website. While this information is only used for contacting these persons in a non-private capacity, BJS expects that contract staff have access to this information only as needed, and that the contractor does not share this information with anyone outside of the needed project staff. If a contractor receives a request from an internal or external party for this information, they're expected to consult with BJS before sharing any information. And additionally, this identifying information is removed from the data file prior to BJS archiving the file with NACJD, the National Archive of Criminal Justice Data, for public use. Our next question was, what information gathered as part of these collections will meet the criteria for sensitive information stated in the RFP? Log all computer readable data extracts from databases holding sensitive information and ensure that each extract including sensitive data has been erased within 90 days or that its use is still required. And that particular language comes from page 25 of the solicitation. And no data collected under the LEX meet that criteria. Our next question is, the RFP states that all applications require a .gov domain. BJS will be providing the current portal at bjslex.org. Is the expectation that this site be converted to a .gov? The plan is to convert the existing website to a .gov website. So this is not anticipated to be just moving the existing website, but a redesign that will present the content in a manner consistent with DOJ website standards and consistent with the look and feel of the BJS and OJP web pages. Can you confirm that all contractor staff will work from their organization's work location and will not work on site at OJP facilities? Contractor staff may be expected to travel to OJP for key meetings, such as project kickoff meetings or an expert panel meeting, but otherwise, contractor staff will work from their organization's work location and not on site at OJP. Our next question is, what is the review process and time to be allocated for BJS review to ensure compatibility and compliance with OJP systems? What documentation is provided to the chief of the BJS Technology and Data Management Unit? The documentation that should be provided for this should include functional specifications, design documents, test plans, and project plans that describe the requirements for the successful operation of the systems or application. Once submitted to the Technology and Data Management Unit, review time for those items is typically around 2 weeks, but something to keep in mind is obviously that may be a bit of a back and forth process, and so that may require additional time to get details more fully ironed out. And our last question from our previously submitted questions. Page 29 of the RFP states that the cost of each collection should be included in the program narrative. Can this instruction be confirmed, or should this financial information be included within the budget narrative? The program narrative should include a brief description of how the applicant will monitor and manage the administrative costs of the data collections. Specific financial information is not needed in the program narrative and should be covered in the budget narrative and detail. So that takes us to the end of the questions that we received prior to the webinar. So at this point, if anyone has any questions related to these questions that we've walked through or any other questions, please feel free to jump in and ask your question. All right, and for those of you, if you have a question, please feel free to either unmute yourself or ask it in the chat. Either way works.
So far, I'm not seeing any questions, Beth. So it looks like at least so far, everything that we've provided is clear. Just to confirm that if there are, while we wait for other people to provide questions or if there's any other clarifications, we want to remind people that the solicitation is available online. All of the details about how to submit an application and what must be included in the application are included there. I also want to remind people that if you are a new applicant for OJP, there is a fairly extensive process to get all of the things in place you need. There's certain numbers you have to have for different systems. I'm happy to provide more information about that via email if someone has any specifics, but we do encourage new applicants to go onto OJP's webpage and look through the descriptions of how to ensure that you have enough time to get all of the things in place that is necessary for an application. Please do not wait till the very last minute, because it can take a week or two in order to get those things. And if you wait till the last minute, you won't be able to submit. So we have one question in the chat that I can see. The first question is, what is the anticipated sample size for the 2026 CESLIA? Beth, do you want to answer that or you want me to?
I can take that. So currently, for the 2022 CESLIA, we were anticipating around 20,000 agencies. And so just for to be conservative, excuse me, to be conservative, would stick with around 20,000.
Any other questions that anyone might have? Okay, well, I'm not seeing anything else. So I just want to say thank you to everyone who's attended this. I hope it was useful to you. If you do have future questions of a technical variety, we will be able to respond to those via email as we have in the past. And we will be posting a transcription of this webinar to make sure that the responses that people had for this are made public as well. So we'll just give people one or two more minutes to ask any burning last minute things. But otherwise, we will just look forward to hopefully seeing applications from everyone.
All right, so I think unless anyone has anything else, we can go ahead and call it. Again, the recording of this will be available on the same page as the BJS solicitation. And just a reminder that it closes June 19th, so just about a month from now. And as Alexia mentioned, with any other technical questions, we can answer those if you reach out to us. So anything after the fact, please let us know. And otherwise, thank you for joining us today.